The views expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, it is. It's Mr. McFeely.
Good day to you.
Am I ever glad to see you.
Well, I'll be your speedy helper.
Thank you.
Well, I almost forgot why I came over. I've been promising to bring you this tape.
Now, this is the beater.
The what?
The beater.
Beater?
Beater.
My friends, this is Dr. Beater. A sophisticated program of psychological conditioning is now underway, directed at you and me. It is a disarming soft sell, but it is also using powerful subliminal techniques to ensure success. It's a program to build up the George Bush image in our minds. We're being prepared to accept it easily when the so-called era comes to an abrupt end soon.
That is very interesting. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. In the meantime, see you around the neighborhood.
Thanks, Mr. McFeely.
Speedy delivery.
And to you.
That's nice to hear from another community, big community guy, Mr. Rogers. Yeah, what were we going to say?
Dr. Beater.
Dr. Beater, yeah. Yeah, it's all connected.
In our community chat portal, here's the update.
Yeah, okay.
I have a little sign signature sound.
Yes.
It's from House Negro, but he uses the previous.
I have to dump that.
Okay,
there's certain things that you can't say, Bob.
Okay.
So we're going to go, we're going into low mode now. Everybody, my voice is going to go down several octaves, and you're just going to have to get used to it. It's not going to really sound like me at all. And Bob is going to sound different. It's the state of engineering here. And then that way we'll gradually rise until we get to the point where I'm talking like this, and we'll be back on the air with the show. Yes, hello.
Actually, Greg, that's fantastic. But I'm just telling you the kind of language goes on in the chat portal.
Yeah.
He asks, does Eva give happy endings? We got to dump that?
I don't recognize flirting, and I don't know what a happy ending is.
So I just said,
happy endings are when the invaders are rooted out of the planet Earth. That all corruption ceases, and that to me is a happy ending. Then we can get on with other happy endings.
How about Richard Surrett? The Conspiracy Culture Bookstore. You know that place?
Yeah, they were interesting. They were leading a protest outside CFRB.
That's right.
And
that's how I knew about it. I got an email from Patrick, and probably he's concerned about his livelihood because Richard's books, the topics, relate to the books of conspiracy culture. So he has to lead it because it's his livelihood.
Yeah, there's always a livelihood hooked into things, always with the radio. Always somebody's livelihood is in the balance.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, nobody's livelihood is depending on this particular program, mine.
I noticed that Nelson Thal didn't have his internet show last week, so maybe he got affected too. Maybe he got knocked off.
Everybody's just giving up. Everybody's giving up on talk. Nobody likes talk.
No, they're giving up. They think Obama has changed the world, and no need to complain anymore.
Yeah, and if you complain, somebody thinks something's wrong with you about
That's
Obama.
Right.
Hey, speaking of that, Bob. I wanted to play this for you because last week you wanted to hear it, and I have it. And here is the song that those kids sang on CNN with Don Lemon. These are these kids that got invited to the inauguration because they sang odes to Obama.
Right.
Here it is.
This is a letter to Barack Obama. It's our way of saying thank you.
Thank you for showing me that no doors are closed. I have the power to control my own future.
Thank you for showing me that I can stand tall and be proud of who I am.
You have given us strength, courage, and hope. And for that, we all say thank you.
Dear Obama, hear us sing. We're ready for the change that you will bring. Gonna shine a light for the world to see. To spread peace, hope, and democracy.
Okay, you're gonna spread peace, hope, and democracy. I'm worried already.
That's amazing, Greg.
What?
The delusion.
I know.
These little kids are programmed.
Yeah, they've been programmed by their white teacher.
Our troops home, Iraq can stand strong on their own.
Iraq can stand strong on their own. they couldn't do it before, but now we've been there. We can we've set them straight, and now they can stand on their own.
For healthcare for the young, so that coverage is available to everyone.
Yeah, healthcare for the young, so that coverage is available for everyone.
And you know what that is? That's just drugs. You know, my wife, Dr. Carol Dean, not very happy about that. I mean, just drugs is what they're going to get with healthcare. It's going to kill everybody.
And it's time to find renewable ways to fuel our needs so we don't have no topics in the Middle East. We gotta
What was that? What was that? I missed that. Something about the Middle East? I was very confused.
I didn't get that.
I didn't get that either.
Some pastor Whitey ears.
Yeah.
For the middle class.
Hold on, let's hold on, I gotta hear this. They gotta stand up for the middle class and regulate the businesses.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's Stalinism. No, it's Trotskyism.
Yeah, Trotskyism. Trotskyism.
Yeah, not Stalinism.
Yeah. Well, that's they were right. They were saying it was socialist. They got away with no oversight, doing things that were not right. Diplomacy in Islamabad and try to control Ahmadinejad?
This is just like the fundamentalist Christian kid singing for Bush. It's just gone to the other side. The
yeah.
same blind devotion and skullduggery and dumbness.
Everybody's going to adore the United States, and they're going to see.
They said, listen.
See us with adoring eyes, and our popularity will rise. Yeah, they'll see us with adoring eyes, and our popularity will rise.
Geez, I used to comment on that's the meaning of Obama a year ago, so I was right. They put it into the kids' programming. That's the meaning of the Obama administration, so that American kids can travel again.
Yeah.
Please pay off all our debts to China.
Pay off all our debts to China and then move all of our forces against Al-Qaeda.
There's so much truth to this thing. It's
yeah.
incredible.
You have the power to change.
Yeah, what?
I just want to say that we'll test Eva. Eva's pretty cynical, but I wonder if she got swept away with the third world occupation of the White House. I wonder if Eva, as a Filipino-Canadian, is enraptured with Obama. We'll find out. Or Eva, you can fall back in, Eva. You know,
yeah. We're available. Oh, I should give the number. I never give the number. People have to get secret emails from people to get the numbers. It's 416-595-1655. Should you want to...
1655. Yeah, 595-1655. You got to repeat it, Greg.
416-595-1655.
Could you do that funny voice distortion? I was impressed.
Do you mean where I go down?
Go down and go up.
And, yeah, well, what we do is we start here, and then when I have to dump, when Bob says a bad word, then I have to go. Then my voice starts going down like this, and I'm going to start losing the tone of my voice, and it starts going down like this, and then eventually it starts heading up, and then we start talking like this, and then we're up at the normal register again. Ready to dump. Ready. Bob is so... I didn't realize that was such a good routine. You're on the air.
That's Eva's back. Like his entire foreign policy.
No, it's not Eva, Bob. You got it wrong.
Sounded like her giggling.
Yeah, it did sound like her giggling.
I've got a frog in my throat.
Okay.
That was so funny. Hey, did you guys remember going back to 60s television?
Yeah.
I was a kid listening, and I didn't get that. I lived out west in Saskatchewan, which was near communism, so we had, you know, Pig and Whistle and Don Messer's Jubilee, and that was about it.
Oh, you got it. You didn't get CTV there?
Well, we had CTV, but we never got that program.
Oh, come on. It was on the CTV network.
Well, maybe it was, maybe, I don't know, maybe CKCK didn't care.
Yeah.
But you remember UFO? It was just called UFO.
Oh, yeah. Ed Bishop.
Yeah.
That was when Jerry and Sylvia Anderson, who made all of those Supercar and Thunderbirds and Fireball XL5. They and Joe 90 and all of that stuff, all the super marionation puppet stuff.
Yeah.
They branched out into live action. And interesting tie-in with the Invaders. They made a film called. It was called Doppelganger in Europe and Journey to the Center of the Sun with Roy Thinnes. They hired Roy Thinnes because I guess he'd been involved with the Invaders, and they put him in. Maybe that was their first live action effort, and then they made UFO with Ed Bishop.
Yeah, that was for its time was a pretty cool show.
Yeah,
but the only problem was I'm in my was that in the 60s? Was that late 60s?
Happy? That was just on the cusp in 69, 70, I think so was like, UFO. Yeah,
I'm like 10 years younger than you guys. I'm like 6 or 7 years old. And it was just a little disturbing to see all those mulatto models in mesh T-shirts. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
kind of disturbing for a seven-year-old.
Yeah, I haven't seen that show in a long time, yeah, the UFO thing.
I can tell you where you can get it off here, but I won't tell you on air.
Yeah, all right, okay.
And then the last thing was the name of your show. It's got to change.
Yeah, what is the show?
Well,
what is the show name?
International Connection.
Yeah, why?
It's just, I don't know, it's got to be called something else.
Have you heard me mention it?
Yeah.
When?
With International Connections this morning.
I didn't.
No, you did.
No, I didn't.
Sure you did.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I did not. Sounds like the argument sketch in Monty Python. I'm just gainsaying everything you say. What?
Okay.
Here, I'll give the email address, internationalconnection@rogers.com. See, there I did it.
Last thing is this radio, I work on St. Clair, Young and St. Clair, and I don't listen to AM talk because it's just so commoditized, it makes me sick.
Yeah.
But
Steve Couch,
guy?
Are you listening to that? Steve Couch over there at CFRB. No, you hearing this? Steve? Steve? Steve, program director Steve Couch, you hearing this?
People
are sick of the rubbish that you're putting out, all right?
Who is this guy, and what happened to him?
What, who? Sarrett?
The guy that got fired, yeah.
Richard Sarrett has been doing a show for a long time. I think he jockeyed around from one...
He's doing International Connection. Extreme stuff with Bob Marshall.
But he's doing
Bob Marshall stuff. They do top-down Skolnick, Tom Henningen's on it.
Yeah, they do stuff...
That's what he does.
Yeah, they do stuff where people sit around and fantasize about things that aren't really going on, and they go, wow, I'm in the inner sanctum now. I know exactly what's going on. I gather it's all a lot of garbage. It's just stuff. It's shtick radio.
No, great.
Filler, right?
It's done. It's what this show, this guy is saying, this caller is saying we should change the name, right?
Yeah.
Well, the guy who created the name, Bob Marshall, just emailed us.
Yes.
And says the robot and lost on the air, the robot was called Environmental Control Robot, not Robbie.
Well, but he was Robbie the Robot. They basically took Robbie the Robot from the 1955 movie Forbidden Planet.
That was some lame television.
And they took that robot, which was Robbie the Robot, and then they gave him another name. Yeah, I know.
Okay, Bob Marshall named this show International Connection. Okay?
He got fired.
The caller should understand the history. The show he's calling in was named by Bob Marshall, and Richard Sarrett took the more extreme bad reporters, the non-Mae Brussel, non-Sherman Skolnick, non-Beater, and put the wacky people on.
Yeah.
And because he was influenced by Nelson Thal, you know, the son of the owners of the paper, Toronto Star, and Nelson Thal called himself Leonard Bloom, and Leonard Bloom used to, Leonard Bloom, Lepo Boom, something like that.
Yeah.
And Leonard Bloom would get on a Surrette, and he gradually converted Surrette to the wacky stuff, I mean, more extreme wacky, and now Surrette's in trouble.
So what were you saying, caller?
Right-wing stuff or what?
Well, yeah, that was what I wanted to mention. I forgot to mention this about the Richard Sarrett protest held by this guy Patrick from this bookstore.
Conspiracy out Culture on, Bookstore.
Out on Queen Street.
Conspiracy Culture.
Yeah. He, in one of the press releases or somewhere, I saw that they said he, and Richard's a Christian guy. And that was one of the reasons you should go out and support him.
that. So there's a lot of Christian fundamentalism that runs through this current about the UFOs and the whacked out you know, conspiracy theory stuff that has absolutely no basis in fact. That gotcha. You look. I heard this stuff. I used to like this stuff when I when I was out in California. I'd listen to shows and you hear people coming on and saying that there are. American POWs in Vietnam were going in to get them and things like that. And you go, and if you're naive.
Bush is human.
David Icke.
No, it's the beast. They're afraid of the beast. They're Christians, fundamentalists, and they worry about the Revelations prophecy. And everything revolves around that. The Queen's Antichrist, the Pope's Antichrist. Greg would agree with that. But they go on about this, and Nelson Thal is a fundamentalist Christian guy with the Herbert W. Armstrong Church, and he gets these people. These Christians, and that's why Nelson's show, when I was on it, Cloak and Dagger, back in 2002, we started getting these fundamentalist Christians. They love this paranoid stuff.
Yeah, and they think that's the secret, and they think it crosses over that people who maybe even aren't fundamentalist Christians are willing to listen to stuff about UFOs because they watched The Invaders as a kid.
Well, like Christian rock groups and skateboarders and stuff like that.
Oh, those Christian rock groups are horrible, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, not to get completely off topic.
Yeah. Though, please. That's the whole point of the program is to get off topic.
When it surfaces, Sarah Palin thought the world was 6,000 years old. This is the kind of stuff that just makes me laugh in this day and age with this fundamentalist movement. I mean, they completely alter history, time, and every other scientific fact to twist it into their own agenda. And yet people follow them by the tens of thousands.
Do you listen to this show every week?
Starting to.
Just if you can, through this month, listen every week. Not because I really desperately need you to listen, but I just want you to listen every week and see what happens.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
It's just a little sly illusion there. Something might happen in the middle.
International Christian connections?
Maybe. Something might happen, yeah.
Okay, see ya.
All right, bye.
Greg, I wanted to add that I don't fight against the Christian theology representing scientific Darwin theology. I think they're both ridiculous, and we should allow anybody to think anything and believe anything because belief is obsolete now. No one can live. You can't hold a belief today. Things change too fast. It's holding belief that creates this Obama and Bush fascism on all levels. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't need a mind anymore. You just need to be paying attention and know the English language. That's all you need to operate.
Is that it?
Yeah, it's all you need. I mean, English language now mandated is international language, and that's because it's a tactile medium. It fits the electronic digital era. This is secret Bob knowledge. But anyways, it's not because the Queen runs the world. This English is the best medium, and everybody's forced. I have a friend, Buzz Kostin, doing my YouTubes. He's over in Thailand, and the local kids, they say, we want to learn English. We have to survive. The point is, that's all you need to survive. You don't need to think.
Well, okay.
You don't
That's
need
good.
To believe in anything.
That's good for a show like this.
Belief stuff creates the economy, creates wealth.
Hey, I'm going to get to the stuff
now,
that
our caller just said he believed in science. I think our caller, call back sometime. You're an idiot for believing in science. Science is obsolete.
I'm going to get Danny on the warpath on that one. I mean, my executive producer.
Yeah, he's stupid on that level. He's very stupid.
He's executive producer.
Manager. He'll never get the pen tab manager with that belief.
You're on the air.
You know, Bob's right on. You don't need a mind anymore.
No.
That's right.
He's absolutely correct.
Thank you.
I've been listening to a lot of radio, and Bob nailed it. He put it out of the park. You don't need a mind anymore.
Hey, are we back to normal voice yet? Oh, he's gone. He's gone. Wow. When he disappears, he disappears very silently. Some people.
He realized I nailed it. I hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
Let's change our name of our show to You Don't Need a Mind Anymore.
Hey, why not? I received last week, there was a lot of talk about Israel that we did on the program, and I received, and I realize I don't know what I'm talking about Israel, but I do, I'm on the right track at least.
Oh, you are, definitely.
I'm on the right track. Here, well, before we go to that, I'll go to...
Are you driving him crazy today, tomorrow, man? I hope he calls in. Are we trivial?
Pardon? Wait a minute, there's someone on the phone. Hello?
Hi, it's Eva.
Hi, Eva.
Oh, great.
You are the theme of this program. Ooh, we're doing, it's like Merv Griffin theme show. It's all about Eva. Ooh, yeah. Hey, look at my lining. Ooh. Yeah.
I agree with Bob. We don't need that anymore. We just have the English language, so we can still survive.
I can hear the show going on in the background because we're in delay.
Oh, you can hear Eva. You forgot to turn the radio down.
Yeah, yeah, you have to turn your radio down.
Okay,
and yeah, and I'll give the phone number again. I hate giving the phone number, though. 416-595-1655. You
but
know it, Eva.
There'll be more competition for me when I dial.
That's true. Have you tried to dial and it's busy?
Yes.
Really? See,
what
I need,
is Eva saying about, what's her point?
I need more lines.
You
yeah, what's Eva's
me?
Point? Why did she call back?
I called back because I just want to say that I agree with everything you say. And I also find that you're all revved up.
Yeah, well, you should like that, shouldn't you? When you're flirty, you need people revved up. Thanks, Eva. So talking about what gets people really revved up, it's about Israel. And I got a note from Ted. And Ted says, just a point of clarification, because I said something wrong. I do say things that are incorrect on the program. Sorry. But we try to correct them, and our listeners are good enough to get in touch with me, correct me, and then we do it. Non-Jews can vote in Israel, for what that's worth. However, they are discriminated against in many ways by laws and practices. This is Ted again speaking, one of our listeners. The thing I try to emphasize is that Israel is a colonial settler state, very much like Canada, based on a religious and ethnic orthodoxy, i.e. an exclusive, exclusionary, and discriminatory Jewish state, backed since 1967 by U.S. imperialism. The ethnic cleansing of 1947-48, which created a state with a significant Jewish majority, continues today on the West Bank. Two Zionist slogans I have come across in my reading show this clearly. A, quote, a land without a people for a people without a land. And the deed for our land is the Torah. That's very much like the Good Morning Moron guy. He's always suggesting that no one was there. Before, that it was empty, why not just have Jews living there? You know, a land without people for a people without a land. The moron man, and he references the moron man. The moron man had the early history mostly correct as far as he went, but he then started the usual Zionist rant that there is no partner for peace as they, Arabs, Palestinians, etc., 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 don't want peace. They want it all. Of course, why would they accept partition of Palestine in 1947 when Jews only own 6 or 7% of the land and were only about 33% of the population, he questions. Then he says that Arafat cried uncle, recognized Israel in 1988, signed the Oslo Accords in 1993, nothing happened except Israel continued to build settlements, Jewish-only roads, etc. on the West Bank, and he ended up under siege and dead. And Ariel Sharon is called Abbas a plucked chicken. And the resistance to the occupation is now completely led by Hamas. There will be no independent, viable Palestinian state, as this does not fit the Zionist project, which is to control the resources of all of the Mandate Palestine. Many Zionists, according to our listener Ted, see Israel today as on the front line of the war against radical Islam and defending Western civilization. This is why they're often tied up with the South African racists. The Zionists seem to have our kins with them, or have been. That's my comment. Getting back to what Ted says, the early Zionists, they were starting in the late 1890s and early 1900s, also promoted a Jewish state in Palestine to European governments as an outpost of, quote, Western civilization, unquote. Israel is now the U.S. client state in the region of the world, which contains the largest known, easily exploitable energy reserves. Israel is not a state of its citizens, but a state of the Jews of the world. There's no civil marriage in Israel for Jews. If a couple wants to marry in a non-religious ceremony, they must leave Israel. Only 7% of the land is privately owned. The rest is owned by the state. The Jewish National Fund, or the Israel Development Authority, managed by the Israeli Land Administration, whose policy is set by the Israel Land Council, made of 12 members from government ministries and 10 from the Jewish National Fund. Of course, this land is usually exclusively leased only to Jews. There are other examples of discrimination against non-Jews. And then there's the question of who is a Jew? And Ted says that my point about the one-state solution not ever being raised is correct.
Who did you start the show with? Who was that British speaker?
Yeah, that's Sir Gerald Kaufman. And that was sent to me by a listener. I was directed to that, to play that from a listener. I decided to get the show started with that, have that right off the top. So
that was good.
Yeah, yeah, it was very interesting. I'm
but
glad.
He's a sir.
Yes. I don't know which party's in. I didn't do the adequate research about that. But now, a fascinating thing happened this week at the Davos Economic Summit, World Economic Summit. And that's Turkey's prime minister, and I'm going to probably pronounce this wrong, but Recep Tayyip Erdogan. It's really in if you were to spell it out as it's written, it's Erdogan, but they've all pronounced it Erdogan. The Turkish prime minister told Shimon Peres what every peace activist, advocate of human rights, and free thinker would like to say in a face-to-face encounter with a Zionist leader. And I have that, I believe, and I'm going to play it, and I think I have it. I'm going to play it, and I'm going to read along with have the original. So here it is. Mr. Perez, you are a senior citizen, and you speak in a loud voice. I feel that your raised voice is due to guilt you feel. But be sure that my voice will not be raised as yours. When it comes to killing, you know very well how to kill. I know very well how you hit and killed children on beaches. In your country, there are two former prime ministers whose comments on Gaza are important for me. You had prime ministers who said, "We relish the opportunity to enter the Palestinian lands on tanks." You talk to me with numbers. I am willing to name those people, and among you, there are maybe people who are longing to know who they are. I condemn those who clap for these atrocities because I think that cheering the murderers of children and humans is in its kind a crime against humanity. Pay attention, please. We can't disregard this fact. I have made note of Mr. Perez's speech, but I have not had time to answer all of them now. Let me finish. I will only touch on two points. First, the sixth of the Ten Commandments in the Torah says, "You shall not kill." But in Palestine, people are killed. And second, which is a very interesting issue, Gilad Atzmon, a Jew himself, says Israeli barbarity is far beyond any usual cruelty. Aside from this, Avi Shaim, professor of Oxford, who performed his military duty in the Israeli army, says in The Guardian that Israel has become a rogue state. I thank you very much. So I thank you, too. From now on, Davos is done for me. I will not attend Davos again. You don't let me speak.
Let me turn this over to our host.
So that is the text of what the Turkish prime minister said, Recep Tayyip Erdogan.
Excellent review, excellent research, Greg. Very good. But I want to bring up a very difficult point.
Uh-huh.
Dave Emery used to be a regular on International Connection, makes this.
Right.
There is a Nazi faction, not only in Israel, but in the Arab world. And the average non-Zionist Israeli has to get smart, get rid of this guy, because the Zionist image of Israel will be raised up and will be used by the Arab enemies, the Nazi element in the Arabs, to nail Israel.
And that's what the fundamentalist Christians like Jack Van Impe and so on, they love this idea because that will bring them to their biblical prophecy of a massive war in the Middle East that will lead to the Armageddon and to the quickening or whatever it's called that they think is going to go on. Yeah, the rapture.
The rupture.
Yeah.
No, it really is. It's a positive spiritual thing to have no mind today. It's these memes, these mimes, these after-images that are fighting fundamentalists in every culture of every style, including scientific culture. That's what the International Connection is against.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
That's what we stand for. We stand for having no mind and subject to no meme, and we don't get fooled by the Android meme. That is the theme here. Whether you know it or not, Greg, that's what we're fighting. That's why I object to your stalinism. We tolerate all belief systems. But if the stalinism is a belief system, a meme, you have a mind. You must have no mind for this time, this second coming, this wonderful 2012 rupture we're going into.
Thank you. Anyway, the Arab world... Yeah, we're
did
on the air.
Did that get on the air?
Yeah, yeah, of course it did.
Good.
Of course it did. Why wouldn't it? We...
The silence. I stunned everybody.
I know. You're a conversation stopper.
Yes. Go ahead.
Speaking,
Israel,
seeing as you mentioned,
story.
Seeing as you mentioned the Stalinism.
No mind.
Stalinism.
Yeah.
I have to bring this up. I'm forced to. You're pushing me into it.
That's right. Your executive producer would demand it.
Yes. North Korea, which is a Juche socialist state, but really we know that is in its origin Stalinism, has renounced all its agreements with South Korea in a challenge to the United States. This is music to my ears. I love this. This is the old President Kim. He was away for a while. He had to look like he was giving in, that he was going along with the program. But now that he's back in position, that he's now being pictured, and he's strong again, and he sent his son over to Macau. Everything's fine. We're heading along on the right approach now. I was a bit worried there about the dear leader, but you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm getting over my laryngitis. Anyway, Greg.
I know someone else is sick. My Catherine is sick. She's at home in bed, getting a rare opportunity to listen to the program, but she's going through terrible time
it's
there.
Bad. It's
well,
really
and
bad.
All you people should be going to Dr. Carolyn Dean's website and get some healthy advice, some real stuff.
Get some magnesium, for heaven's sake.
No, it's all kinds of stuff, Heather. Go to Dr. Dean's site.
Get four or five organic garlic cloves and mash them into milk and let it simmer. Don't bring it to a boil. Just simmer it for about 15 minutes. Strain off the garlic and then drink the milk.
But doesn't the milk create kind of mucus or something?
No. The way this is done, it's the garlic, pure organic garlic. That will make a tremendous difference. Anyway, what I'm calling in about is, I think I've explained.
But Heather, you were sick for a month. It didn't work.
Well, that was because of a couple of other situations. But anyway, Anyway, I'm not going to go into it on the air.
Don't go into it.
No, I won't.
Anyway, I know why you were sick, but I don't want to go into it. I just sense why you were sick. But anyway, go ahead.
But I was just, as I said to you before, that the concept of the rapture is a complete scam, and most people don't understand this. The idea of the rapture was introduced to the Christians a few hundred years ago by a rabbi. And I've got all the information, the rabbi's name, everything in my files. I don't have.
Okay, get it to me.
But I can't. Well, I'll have to look it up and then give it to you next
all
week.
Right,
but
okay.
Anyway, I have tremendous files. Okay.
I know.
Anyway,
you're like the Mae Brussel of Toronto.
Well, anyway,
you have a certain
I didn't even know who she was before, so it's not that I'm trying to be Mae Brussel.
No. I know. It can pop up anywhere.
Anyway, the point.
I'm glad
is,
you knew about her through us. Though.
Yeah. The point is that the idea of the rapture was a thing that they created because at some point there was a political situation between the Vatican and the rabbis that came into it, and they had to introduce this concept of the rapture, okay, because the people were saying at that point in time that the Pope was a devil worshiper or something like that, and this thing coming up with the rapture was a thing that was used at the time politically, and it has nothing to do with what the end time is. This is something that was grafted on, as many things have been, to the Christian situation, just like a Zionist Christian is nothing but an oxymoron, literally and physically, okay? So, and it's the Zionist Christians that are creating most of the problems, okay? Unfortunately, when you start going into it and researching it. So, the point is that rapture was a complete scam. Now, about what's happening with what you were talking about with the Turkish Prime Minister,
yes,
and so on and so forth, all of that. Turkey supports Israel to a certain extent, that's for sure. But I think a lot of people around the world right now, because of communications and literacy and more people understanding English and things of that nature, information is bubbling up to the surface now about what happened in Russia regards the Bolshevik, massacres, and what has happened in the Ukraine having to do with the same type of people, and what has happened to Lebanon, and what has happened to Armenia, and so on. There have been a series of genocides going around the planet now, and with Russia, Ukraine, Lebanon, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'm going to dispute the Ukrainian one,
Okay, all I'm saying is
I'm going to dispute that. I know a lot of people died, but there's some mitigating circumstances on that one, that's for sure. At least as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, anyway, and everything, because Talmudism is the main book of so-called religion, famine, when all the rock stars got their money together to help stop that famine in Ethiopia 20 or odd years ago. The Ethiopian Jews, the Falashas, were airlifted out of Ethiopia and were set down in Israel, because the Falasha Jews are probably the oldest Jews on the planet right now. And when they got into Israel, and Israel didn't arrange for this, the Christians in the West got the money together to airlift the Falasha Jews. When they got there, they were not allowed into the synagogues in Israel. And the Falasha Jews said, why aren't we allowed into these synagogues in Israel? And they were told by the rabbis in Israel, because you haven't studied the Talmud. And the Falasha Jews answered back, what is the Talmud? What is it? They didn't even know what it was.
What, does your skin turn white if you study the Talmud or something?
No, I'm just saying, well, if you start doing some research on the Talmud, it's a pretty awful book. And to consider it a religious book is...
Well, I haven't read it, and I don't know. But
you really should.
But I've heard that said about many religious texts.
I've studied many different religions.
Okay, I know that's what your claim is.
No, I'm just saying that there are things in
that's
that.
That's what you say.
You know what the word holy means when it's actually translated, okay? It means restricted.
Right.
Okay, so it's the restricted. The Bible is a restricted book. The Talmud is a much more restricted book, because if people understood what is in that, it would make a tremendous difference to the world, and you would understand why we're having war after war after war after war.
This must be, this intervention that you're doing on this program this morning is a dream come true to the Good Morning You Moron man. He's so desperate to hear
why
you.
Why are you worried about the good...
I'm not worried about him.
Well, the point is... Forget about this guy that's calling in. I'm saying,
no, he's great.
He wants to debate you, Heather.
He's fantastic.
I'm saying that people...
He just won't come down here because he has fears.
Okay, I have... Okay, I've listened to show after show after show after show for years and years and years on CNN, CTV, you name it, all about the Quran and how horrible the Quran is, and it does this and it's that. And if anybody were actually going to read the Talmud and find out what is in there, the Quran is a walk in the park. Well, it's a little innocent book compared to the Talmud, and the Talmud is under wraps. No one's supposed to get into that and find out what's in there.
Well, you're discussing the reports in the media. I just want to play, seeing as you brought that up, about the Erdogan situation in Davos against him. If I can just play this. This is the CNBC report based on that incident.
Of course, we want to quickly check in with Davos. Ross Westgate standing by. Ross, I know you talked about the Turkish prime minister, right, getting very angry over some Israel-related comments, but you've got some pictures you want to show us now.
Yeah, Leonie, this is extraordinary. The Turkish Prime Minister, a short while ago, in a tension-filled debate about Gaza and the prospects of peace in the Middle East, had the UN head there as well, and the head of the Arab League, got very upset in a tension-filled debate and finally had enough and walked out. Karina Kamel is with us from CNBC Arab Beer as well. Karina, you were in the session. What ticked him off so much?
Ross, I think it was a combination of factors. I mean, obviously he was responding to some comments made by Israeli President Shimon Peres. The tension was really palpable in the room.
What did Peres say?
He said a number of things. Let's start by the first comment. Really, he opened his speech by saying that democracy is not about elections, it's about civilizations, insinuating that just simply the fact that the Palestinian people held an election through which they voted for Hamas, that does not make them a democracy. So really, I'm sure that was taken in a negative way. He also said that, according to him, there was not one day of starvation in Gaza over the course of the last few weeks, which clearly I'm sure people could potentially disagree with that. In addition to that, he said that none of the crossings between Gaza and Israel, vital crossings, were ever closed.
And this all came out at the end of a pretty emotional filled debate. And it's not something you see very often. I can't remember the last time someone of the status of a prime minister stormed off. And what he said, Aaron, he says his parting shot was, I'm never coming back. Back to you.
That was the report there. Pretty minor report. I wasn't watching television. I don't know when this exactly happened. I guess it happened
I saw that whole thing on a video. You can get it on YouTube. You can walk off and so on.
Well, that's where I got it too, but I didn't see the much reporting of it, of this incident, on the mainstream media. I don't know how.
You are not going to, because CNN is a CIA black ops, okay, completely controlled by the CIA. You're not going to be hearing it on the Western thing. We are in a state of blackout in the West here. In terms of news, we're only given a certain amount of news. They twist everything around. We do not know. North America is the most censored place in the world. Anyway, and CNN is disgusting because it does this all the time. And
I do it on this program.
And CNN is constantly manufacturing wars, et cetera. Okay? Now, what I want to say as well with regard to that, okay?
Yes. What is your next topic?
My next topic is this, okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That all these wars and all these pitting one person against another and so on and so forth, it's because certain people at the top want to have total control over the resources, et cetera. And they don't care how many people they maim, murder, et cetera.
Yeah, I know all about that.
Okay? And so the main, you have to do research, research, research.
Oh, I'm doing my research.
You do the research.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing my research, all right.
Yeah, you do your research.
Oh, yeah.
You find out.
I'm hitting them from the bottom. You hit them from the top, all right?
Yeah.
We'll catch them in the middle.
Yeah, but particularly the Rothschild Global Mafia.
No, I'm not going after them. I'm going after other people with other names.
Yeah, well, because these other people with other names are working for them, okay?
Oh, I know they're working
they're
for them.
They're frontmen for that family.
Yes.
You understand?
Oh, I understand completely.
Are we dumping this great? Do we have to dump this?
No.
Okay.
Oh, good, good.
So,
but Heather, there's a level you miss.
You don't know what I've missed. You don't have a clue about what I've missed or haven't missed.
Oh,
what
dear.
Do you mean? I'm the one who's working.
I tell you right now,
I am the Illuminati you're complaining about.
No, listen.
Okay?
What I have said.
I am the Illuminati you're complaining about, Heather, and you won't deal with it.
No, listen.
You won't face it.
Excuse me.
Come on, look at me.
Listen, all I'm saying is, the things that I have said on this show over the years and on many many, many other shows for the last 15 or 20 years.
It's all true what you say.
I have already censored myself. If I were to come out and say certain things that I know, this show would be gone in a second.
Yeah.
Believe
you
me.
Okay? I can tell you whether this show goes
okay?
or not, Heather. I'm the one that you're complaining about. I am the Illuminati.
Well, then go drown yourself. Go drown yourself in the Pacific Ocean. You're an idiot.
You see what happens? You get the revved up.
I know. That was a good. Now that's what I call a happy ending.
Yes.
Okay. Getting back to good, nice, happy things. This is about
Eve is loving this stuff. She's never heard radio like this before.
This is the dear leader Kim Jong Il appears to have resumed his duties after having disappeared from public view for 3 months. I thought it was longer than that he disappeared. The North Korea, they call it North Korea. It's called the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Renounced diplomatic and military agreements with South Korea today, a move that could lead to a new round of skirmishes along the border between the two states, in a calculated shot across the bows of the new U.S. government. Quote, the country's state news agency announced the nullification of political and military agreements between Pyongyang and Seoul, including a deal governing the disputed border where two deadly naval confrontations have taken place in the last
in the past 10 years. Now, I have a statement from because, as you know, I am the official news agency here in Toronto for this. I don't. It's not official. They don't know it, but they have no idea, and they never will, and they don't care. But I am the official news agency in Canada for the DPRK. And yes, go ahead. You're on the air. Hello. Hello.
They know how to distract you, Greg.
Hello.
You'll take a call right in the middle of asserting who you are.
Hello.
Japanese scientists placed explosive detonators on a lake Loch Ness to blow Nessie out of the water.
Hello.
You hear that? He's playing a tape.
I know. Listen to my voice.
Get out.
Hello.
Hello.
This is very strange. Very strange. Wow, 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 wow. All right. This is from Pyongyang. Lots of
you're fun to work with, Greg. You're fun to do research with.
Yeah. Here's Pyongyang. This is what they say out of the KCNA news service, which I represent here in Toronto. It is damn it. I don't have something messed up today, and I was going to play. I had national anthems to play as soon as Heather started talking about
Russia.
About Russia, I had the Bolshevik. I had everything going. I had it already, and it all screwed up.
Oh, damn.
Last night, computer crash. Terrible. It is a steadfast policy. You know what? When I see the phone blinking, I always feel that I have to take it. So you're on the air.
Yes, I want to throw, since it's Super Bowl Sunday and football's all the talk, I want to throw a flag against Heather, a 15-yard penalty for a flagrant foul against Heather for calling Bob Dobbs an idiot.
Mm.
15 yards on the play, first down.
Okay, she's out there.
Thank you.
It is a steadfast foreign policy of the DPRK to... I'm having trouble with my new agency work.
You start boasting too much.
I know.
Karma.
I know. All right, here it is. It is a steadfast foreign policy of the DPRK to ensure peace and security in Northeast Asia and the rest of the world. And that's from the Rodong Sinmun Friday, in a signed article. The article goes on. The DPRK has made every sincere effort to protect peace and security in Northeast Asia in the past. Actually, why the heck am I reading it from this source? I'm going to read it straight. I thought I had it straight from the organization. I don't have it. I failed.
Greg,
I failed. The DPRK has made. I failed. I must be killed immediately. The DPRK has made every sincere effort to protect peace and security in Northeast Asia in the past. Military tension in Northeast Asia is inching close to a more acute phase as the days go by, far from easing. This is entirely attributable to the U.S. Asia-Pacific strategy for aggression.
And the Rothschilds.
It is the calculation.
Don't they talk about the Rothschilds?
No, they don't. They never do that.
What do they think of Israel?
They never make many comments about that, but I'll try and find them. It is the calculation of the U.S. imperialists that they cannot realize their scenario for world domination without putting under their control the Asia-Pacific, which abounds in natural resources, markets, and manpower, and is located in the region of military and strategic importance. You can't deny that one. The U.S. warmongers seek to ensure the upper hand of strength and reinforce their strategic position in Northeast Asia and start another Korean War in a bid to get rid of their political and economic crises and build a unipolar world. Nothing is more urgent at present than ensuring peace on the Korean Peninsula in Northeast Asia. In order to achieve peace in Northeast Asia, it is important, first of all, to get foreign military bases dismantled and foreign troops withdrawn from the region and foil the imperialists' move for domination and interference. You can't knock that one either. Peace in Northeast Asia can be achieved only through the concerted efforts and common struggle of the people of the countries of the region. They should check and frustrate the moves of the aggressor forces for war by their concerted efforts. That's what I'm doing here. A war has not broken out, but peace has been preserved in Northeast Asia, including the Korean Peninsula, so far entirely thanks to the efforts exerted by the DPRK to bolster its military deterrent, had the DPRK not reacted to the U.S. offensive to stifle it with nuclear weapons by increasing its self-reliant defense capability, the Korean Peninsula would have already turned into a theater of nuclear war, bringing nuclear disasters not only to Northeast Asia, but to the rest of the world. The Korean people will, as ever, intensify the struggle against the imperialist aggression and war moves to ensure peace and security in Northeast Asia, including the Korean Peninsula and the rest of the world, and thus positively contribute to the human cause of peace and independence. That is a speech directly from DPRK sources, which I'm proud to feature on this program, and you are on the air.
But, Greg, before you take the caller, yes? I think that it'd be great if Peter Mansbridge would say something like that.
Yes, I agree. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Well, this is Andy here, you know.
Oh, hi, Andy.
You know, and I have a right to defend myself, you know. You know. And Heather has the control of your future now, you know. You know. That's all I have to say right now. And thanks, Danny, for leaving. Now that I can come and call every 5 minutes, you know. You know.
Well, here's, hang up?
Well, yeah, that was, he's gone. This is from Reykjavik, Iceland. We're going all around the world, and Reykjavik.
There's no such culture. They're bankrupt, aren't they?
This is from the 22nd of January. Yes, we'll get to more about Iceland in a moment.
Listen to this, Greg.
No, don't. I know it. No.
The number.
What?
22.
I know.
I'm on the 22nd parallel latitude above the equator.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Back. All right, next. Reykjavik, Iceland, 22nd of January, 2009. To all official delegates and members of the Korean Friendship Association, the KFA Preparatory Committee for the 100th birthday anniversary of President Kim Il-sung has planned to organize the internet seminar, The Great Leader Kim Il-sung Will Always Be in the Heart of the Mankind, on the glorious occasion of the February holiday and Sun's Day. The seminar will be held from the 14th to the 16th of March. We call for the participation of all KFA officials and members by sending their articles, poems, works, and favorite pictures of the great leader Kim Il-sung to korea@korea-dpr.com before the 1st of March. So very important work for you to do out there to collect all those poems and pictures. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Good, good. I have a question for you and Bob.
Yes.
Now, when an administration, in this instance, let's use the Bush administration, when their foreign policies fail miserably, like let's use Iraq. Okay, when their administration is over, can't they be held accountable for their failed policies? Like, why couldn't they be held accountable for that? I'll listen off air. Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Had a lot of women calling today. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
We had a meeting. I met with a whole bunch of people who are related somehow to the international connection. I had a meeting with them this past week, and not a woman amongst them. I wanted you can come out to our little gatherings if you wish. You don't need to flirt at all. We're not looking for that. That's not important. But if you want to, that's okay too. You're allowed to. Bob, do you want to comment about what the caller just said?
Yeah, it's a very serious topic, and that's never been possible to defame the image of the White House and have the meme that it made a mistake. But things have changed. There is a global civil war. The United States has been cut off from all money by certain forces in Europe and China, and the Bush and Clinton, Cheney over the next couple of years will be brought to their knees. We're going to see like a show trial like they used to do in Stalinist Russia. We're going to see these guys are going to pay this time. But there's a struggle going on, and Obama is with the team that's going to, through China and Europe, nail Bush and Cheney. But he, at this point, the losing round, is under house arrest. So, yes, there is a move to nail these guys for the first time in American history, and if all works well, it'll happen, but doesn't mean it's going to happen. That's my answer.
My view of that is that there's no accountability, that people seem to be able to get away with doing bad things in the world and even locally and even in a community sense, and they never have to pay the price. They just go in, do their damage, leave. Or even worse, they stay. You're on the air.
Well, all I can say is I happen to agree with Heather, would you believe?
No.
Yeah. What? Bob Dobbs or Lou Dobbs or Fred Dobbs, whatever his name is a total idiot.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that Heather and I are on the same page. Maybe Andy will give me a 30-yard penalty.
Did you hear Sir Gerald Kaufman off the top of the program?
Yeah, yeah.
What did you think of that? How did that?
Nothing new about it, was there?
How did that make?
Kind of canard that this idiot has been putting across for the last 15 years. You know, you've got to, you put these things on without the right shade and without the right perspective, and it's not very fair. But
what do you mean the right perspective? I didn't phrase it anyway. I just put it on for people to listen to.
Yeah, but nobody knows who Sir Gerald Kaufman is, including yourself, obviously.
Well, okay, but that's fine.
The shade and that's the perspective.
All right. Well, who is he then? Who is he?
One of the great haters of mankind in the world.
No. He's one of my friends. I should learn to know him because he and I would get along quite well, would we?
I think so. We have the same kind of agenda. This chap panders. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. You're probably a more reasonable man than him.
Oh,
this chap panders to a constituency.
We're bonding.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you do pander to that constituency. His constituency is an Arab constituency.
Oh.
Literally, that's his seat in Parliament. And he has to keep these people happy.
He's another one of those George Galloway types, is he?
Well, that's very good. Now you're talking. The same kind of a poor person as that. But anyway, he's totally irrelevant, by the way, as are most of these people in terms of their views, because they're hackneyed, they're hallowed, and hollow, and they don't have anything really interesting new to say.
What party is he?
I always find Heather so incredibly interesting in the sense that
fascinating.
She alludes to things which she claims to have some knowledge. For example, have you ever read the Talmud? No, I've never read the Talmud.
Have you read it?
Because she says, I have! You know, if anybody knows anything about the Talmud, it is impossible to read, particularly for a layman living in North America. Now, you can probably get translations of the 40 different tractates there are in the Talmud selectively, and you may be able to find something written by some, I don't know, quasi-authority. Oh, here we are. We're off the air.
Well, no, just keep going. Keep going. It's okay.
Well, you can probably get some awful translations of minute little pieces, but the Talmud is an extraordinarily complex series of books and tractates which are, in fact, the life study of many Orthodox Jews, and how the Talmud came into being, how it was created, what it is the subject of a whole program. But in the Precy, it is in fact the totality of Torah.
Do you agree with her view of that, of the Talmud?
Of
the Talmud, that it's a horrible text and has, it's brutal and nasty.
It is the Talmud is that which the world revolves around. And in other words, what she's saying is absolute nonsense. She's no idea what she's talking about.
Ooh, what a challenge.
No,
what about,
not a challenge.
So about that, she doesn't know what she's talking about, but about Bob Dobbs, she's sure. The idiocy of Bob Dobbs.
Well, Bob doesn't add anything to the show. That's the whole point.
Well, I'll tell you something. Finnegan's Wake is a satire in the Talmud. I know about the complexity of Talmud because I studied Finnegan's Wake. You know anything about the Finnegan's Wake? No, you don't.
What?
Yeah, see, what?
All right.
You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Thank you.
Choice, 1939, Finnegan's Wake, you moron.
Thank you very much for phoning in. And if we do carry on after 10:30, I'll please phone in again. Well,
se terminaron para mí todas las barras.
Thank you, Bob Dobbs. Thank you to all the callers who phoned in. I think it was a good show.
Yeah.
All of my,
a lot of interesting topics.
I did a lot of planning yesterday, and a lot of it fell to naught, but I'll just go and do it again. It's for future.
A lot of research.
Yeah. Here, I'm going to do this. I didn't play this, and then I'll play something else again, and then maybe we'll be back. I don't know what's happening.
I'm Ron Wilson, coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, with some winning strategies for... I'm Ron Wilson, coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, with some winning strategies for an off-ice issue, sober driving. Whether you're heading out after a game, out in the town, or just hanging out with friends, always have a plan for a safe ride home for yourself, your family, and your friends. Your winning strategies could include a taxi, a designated driver, or public transit. Help shut out impaired driving.
OSINT and the Beer Store want you to arrive alive. Drive sober.
The views expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. Listener discretion is advised. The views expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated.
Hello, I'm back.
Great, great. Can I make a comment? We're still on, right?
Yeah, I'm going to hang in here for a little while and see if someone shows up, and then I'll decide what to do. I'm just not sure. I don't want to.
Maybe I should tell the moron man what he doesn't know.
Yeah.
The reason the Talmud is so complex is it's at first early translation via the pre-phonetic alphabet of the oral tradition into flat, linear, simple leveled visual space or the phonetic alphabet. The reason it's so complex you can't read it is that you can't translate the oral tradition into the visual space, or what we call as normal alphabetic literacy. These kind of things never enter the mind of the moron man. He has no sense of the form of causality of language. He's into the content.
Yeah.
And so call back, moron, and address me on my level.
Well,
and Heather, call back. You were talking to the Illuminati. I worked with the Rothschilds for 40 years. I'm doing everything that you think is wrong, but it's a little more complex than that. We got not only the oral tradition, the visual tradition, we got the tactile and kinetic tradition extended into the Android meme, Heather. Now, facts are irrelevant. The big psyops, the black ops of all information systems from all countries is research itself. We don't need a mind. This show is now no mind necessary.
Oh, that stopped everything. That just stopped everything dead, right?
Yeah, it's I'm too powerful. I better go back and just monitor the show.
Yeah, okay. maybe that should be the case. I just wanted to say we did one of the stories about Iceland, and you know, and Bob mentioned about it going bankrupt.
It's gone.
And do you know they're going to get their first lesbian prime minister?
I did see that.
So
on the internet.
Yeah, I saw it on the internet too. I thought
That's good.
Yeah, it's a good sign.
Speech for obsolete research. Being a government minister is like a janitor, like Obama. All these lesbians think it's great. They'll write little songs like those kids for Obama. Oh no, no peace, no time, and all this stuff. And Iraq is back in power. Whatever they sing, and the lesbians will love it, but they don't know it's obsolete, and that's the lie. The lie is they won't recognize what's really going on. Every one of you categories of human species, as the Church of Subgenius says, mere humans. Mere humans.
Battered Iceland pins its hope on Jóhanna Sigurðardóttir, world's first lesbian prime minister. Sigurðardóttir.
Hello, Mr. Sigurðardóttir.
Sigurðardóttir. Iceland was preparing yesterday for the appointment of Jóhanna Sigurðardóttir. Oh, my gosh, that's hard. Sigurðardóttir. As the country's first female prime minister and the world's first openly gay premier. The world's first openly gay premier. In the hope that she can lead the country out of financial meltdown. Well, they know there are a lot of gay premiers in the world. She's the first openly gay one. Well, that's interesting.
The rise of Hominturn. Paul Krassner and the Realists, 40 years ago, 1968, 41 years ago now, exposed not Hominturn, but the Hominturn, the incredible control by gay culture coming through Madison Avenue and Wall Street and that. They now are surfacing a little late, taking over the abandoned planet and the ghetto, but let them run forward. It's all pre-programmed. After the communists, then come the Hominturn.
We're going to
Paul Krassner.
We're going to this, the realist. You're going to going to go to this call.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. It appears this morning that after Eva, who breathed a lovely ray of sunshine into the proceedings,
it all went to hell.
Yeah, it descended into a debate about this person who's read this book and that person who's read that book, and I've got more knowledge than you, and I know more than you because I've done all this reading and stuff. It becomes really boring.
Yeah.
Even though the readers might know a lot and have good points, the fact that it's being presented in such a linear fashion, to use one of Bob's quotes,
yes, I
makes
agree
it really
with you,
unpalatable.
Come on, the story about the openly gay new premier of Iceland, that's good, isn't it?
Oh, no, it's all very interesting.
And what about the 100th anniversary?
Get that? It's always very interesting.
Yeah, what about the 100th birthday of President Kim?
No less fascinating.
Yeah, so...
But irrelevant. I agree with the caller. Yeah. It's just all ridiculous information. We should have personal advice, like an Ann Landers column here. People are telling us how to get along.
Do you know what's going to happen right now, though? We're going to Choice Cuts. Choice Cuts is here and ready to roll. All the promos are played. Everything's ready to roll for them. And Rebecca, what? It's not reading your disc? It's not reading the disc. It's not reading the disc. I have these problems too. Oh, which one were you trying it in there?
Yeah.
Don't do it there. I've heard that that one is no good. I've heard that this one, I got it from the previous host to me that this one's working. That one doesn't work. Yeah, they don't. That one doesn't work. The top one doesn't work. There we go.
This person can wander in anytime. We're so cool. We let the next program come in anytime they want.
Oh yeah. And here they are. I'm going to hit the button. I'm going to be the DJ. All right, for the first track, right? Is that okay, Rebecca? Here we go. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you
back
next week.
Back to the beach.
Yeah.